starting on page 34 in Shabbos, fifth line, middle of Ois Chof Dalim. We're in the middle of talking about, since the Mishnah had mentioned the three things that the three mitzvahs of a woman, and therefore that if she's not careful with them, she may be in danger during childbirth. So that led the Gemara into a discussion of various other averus and the consequences of them. And then for a few of them also, for the flip side of it, the good results for the great rewards for those mitzvahs. So now the Gemara continues. Ba'avon inui hadin, for the avera of delaying the din, which means, in other words, that Rashi explains. So you have, like this, obviously, the dayanim have to take their time figuring out, they have to spend the proper amount of time figuring out what the verdict should be. But once they've figured it out, they shouldn't just be delaying it unduly. When they're doing l'shem shamayim, then good. But inui adin is where they're delaying it for no particular reason, just exactly. That's inui adin, the evil sadin, and for corrupting the judgment, which means that they deliberately go and distort it. The kilkul adin, or messing up the din, which is that Rashi explains, unlike evus, which is they deliberately distort it, kilkul is just they didn't take their time to analyze it thoroughly, and therefore they come out with a wrong conclusion. Marsha says another possibility, kilkul adin, can also be that the dayan himself came out with the correct verdict, but then the sofrim, the court recorders, or the shotrim, the bailiffs, go and corrupt it and do the wrong thing. Marsha mentions, by the way, Shabadur Hashem Shamoshim, Shabadur Azeh. He editorializes and adds that refers to the Shamoshim of nowadays. And in Marsha's times, apparently there was a big problem with this kind of thing where the shotrim and whatever were taking things into their own hands. So the guy in the Marshal says has to warn them to not do that. In the Mamanus, we're talking about. In the Marshal's times, it didn't happen. In the Gemara, the Pashas means either one. I mean, in the case of right, but even so, it's still, the Gemara has an expression elsewhere, like you so to speak, forcing Hashem to make it up to the injured party, you see. Anyway, so for those avedas, for bittul Torah, and also for taking time inappropriately from learning Torah, cherev or visa rabba, so there comes the sword, or visa rabba, and tremendous, spoliation. People take the goyish enemies come and take lots of spoils. The dever and epidemics, vatsores and drought, but all of those things come. As the Gemara is going to derive, here the Gemara is going to be doushing and psukim from the Toshacha and Parashas Bepukosai on this, and it's going to show how all these things that are in one section of the Toshacha are all referring to as a result of these averus. People eat and they're not satisfied. No matter how much they eat, they don't feel full. But and they eat their bread by weight, which means Rashi explains on the pasuk over there that the bread is made from bad quality grain or rotten grain or whatever, so it falls apart in the oven, and therefore they end up having to weigh out the crumbs because they can't slice it properly. As the pasuk says, "Ve'vesi aleichem cherev." The pasuk says, Hashem says, "I'll bring a sword against you, nekemes nekam bris v'gomer," which is taking revenge, which is avenging to revenge for the bris. And the bris, Rashi explains, refers to Torah. So therefore, that shows that bittul Torah has these results. And then it continues in the following psukim, v'shivri lochem mate lechem, when I break for you the staff of bread, in other words, that people won't have, so in other words, there'll be a drought and people won't be able to rely on to be able to get grain for bread. But ofu esed nashim v'gomer, and 10 women will have to bake in one oven because there'll be a shortage of firewood, and then the pasuk continues that they'll have to divide up the bread by weight because again it'll be crumbly. In bris el Torah. Now the word bris over there, nekemes nekam bris, refers to not learning Torah. Shenemim lo brisi yom v'alayla v'gomer. As we find the pasuk that Hashem says, "If it weren't for my covenant by day and by night, I wouldn't have set up the laws of the universe." Which yom v'alayla means the Torah, which you have to learn v'avdisa v'yom v'alayla. Uchtiv. Then a few psukim later, it says, "Yan v'yain v'mishpatai ma'asu." This is because, and again because, they rejected my mishpatim. So rejecting my mishpatim includes all the rules that Hashem set up for how to do mishpat emes, for how to do a true judgment. So therefore, that includes this inui adin and ivus adin and kilkul adin. So we see, therefore, that all of these consequences, the cherev, which is the fact that enemies with swords come, and they also, as they're attacking with swords, they also take lots of spoils, and that you have the dever and the batsoras, you have the shilachti dever besochachem, Rashi brings, the pasuk also mentions that Hashem says, I'll send epidemics among you, and the shivri lachem mati lachem is the batsoras, and the ba'ofu es nashim is the bread crumbling. So all of that you have as a result of bris and as a result of b'mishpatai ma'asu. And Moshe counts them a little bit differently. He brings a girsta from Yalkut Shimoni instead. You have in the Toshacha there in Parshas Bechu Kosai, the punishments are divided into groups of seven. Rashi mentions it on the Pesukim as well. So if you count up over there the things that you have in that section, then you have seven different things that it mentions. And you see, therefore, that it all goes together. Marsha also asked, the Mishpatei Ma'asu is at the very end of the Tosafot. Fine, the Kemes Tekam Bris, that's right before we just said that it's right in connection with Cherev and with the Shilachti Dever and so on and so forth. So fine, it's easy enough to say that that's a result of Nekemes Nekam Bris for failing to learn Torah. But the Mishpatei Ma'asu, where is that? What does that have to do? That's many Pesukim later. So Marsha says, rather, you have to look at the beginning of the Toshacha, where it uses the expression, imas mishpate tigal nafshachem, if your souls reject my mishpatim, levilti asoises, komit spaisa, you don't do all my mitzvahs, lahafra femes brisi, and you violate my bris. So therefore, so we see that rejecting mishpat is included in violating the bris, which is the Torah. So it's not depending on the psukim at the end, but rather at the beginning. Continues the Gemara. Ba'avon shvuas shavu shvuas sheker b'chil Hashem b'chil Shabbos, as for the averus of swearing uselessly, where shvuas shav is, for example, Rashi gives an example: a person swears about a man that he's a woman. Maybe nowadays that wouldn't just be such a shvuas shav. Nowadays maybe you need to sometimes, but anyway, whatever. Sometimes you need to maybe just swear about a man that they're a man because whatever. Anyway, but anyway, that's shvuas shav. Shvuas sheker would be that. It's not obviously false, and he's actually fooling people. Shavuos Shav, actually, the Gemara explains in Shavuos, can have a couple of different meanings. It can mean where you're trying to change something that's known. For example, you swear that a man is a woman. It can also be a swearing uselessly. For example, that this man is a man. And there's a couple of other examples. Anyway, Shavuos Sheker is where it's false, and people don't realize it's false. So you're misleading people. Chilul Hashem, and Chilul Hashem with all the different subcategories that are within that. The Chilul Shabbos, violating Shabbos, for all of those things, Chaya Rab Rabba, for all of that, wild animals increase and then start harassing and attacking people. Over Hema Kola, the domestic animals disappear because they get attacked and eaten by the wild animals. Over Neodim Smatin, the people also are reduced in number because they get attacked by the wild animals. Vadroch and Mishtermin, and the roads become desolate because people are afraid to travel on them. Shenema, as the Pasuk says also in the Teichacha, V'im be'eila loisi vosuli, the Pasuk says, if with these you will not be subjugated to me and you don't do tshuva, then it mentions all these things about wild animals and the domestic animals disappearing and so on and so forth. And al tukri be'eila ela ba'ol. So don't read be'eila with these, but rather ba'ola, because of Allah, where the word Allah is a synonym for Shavua. So therefore, Rashi explains that it includes both Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker. Now, by Shavuos Sheker, the Pasuk also says, V'chilalta, if you would endure Shavuos Sheker, you would be desecrating the name of Hashem, because after all, Shavua is you swearing in Hashem's name, so if you swear on Sheker, the person swears on Sheker, then amounts to that he's associating Hashem's name with falsehood. And similarly, you find Chilul Hashem and Chilul Shabbos are also described as Chilul, so therefore they all go together. And the Maharal has an explanation that all of them involve that a person is, in effect, reducing Hashem's, pretending as though Hashem's involvement with the world is reduced. He's claiming that he can associate Hashem's name with vain things or with false things, saying that denying that Hashem created the world, making it that people respect Hashem less. So therefore, the result is that it has these effects on human society. So therefore, v'chtiv, and the pasuk continues, v'shlachti b'chemes chayis hasod v'gomer. The pasuk continues, I'll send against you, I'll incite against you the wild animals, and so forth, and the rest of the consequences that we say. Marsha points out that by all the other ones, by all the other sections in the Tochacha, the expression is v'im ad eila, if up until these you don't do tshuva, or v'im teuchu imi v'keri, if you go in me, if you go with me in a way of casualness, which the Rambam explains. In other words, if people say these are not messages, these are not warnings from Hashem, this is just that the way the world is, sometimes these things happen, etc. But here instead you have this expression v'im be'ela, so that allows us to darshan be'ela like be'ola. So by Shavuos Sheker it says that if you shouldn't swear in my name falsely, and if you do, you would desecrate the name of Hashem. So therefore you learn by Zeta Shava on the word Chilul that the same way as Shavuos Sheker has these consequences, which that we darshan from the word Be'ela, which we're reading as though it said Be'ola, so do these other kinds of Chilulim have those consequences as well. Next, continues the Gemara, Ba'avon shvichos damim, because of the aveira of spilling blood, of killing other people, Beis HaMikdash charev, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, or Shechina mistalekas miYisrael, and the Shechina leaves the Jewish people. Shenema, as you find at the end of Parshas Maaseh, V'loy sacham nifu v'goyim, the pasuk warns you, don't pollute the land with innocent blood. V'loy satame esaretz hashatam yirshvim ba, don't make tame the land in which you're living, asher ani shochem b'secha, which I dwell in it. Ha, so the implication is, you're not in the Tanano, so if you do defile the land with innocent blood, then you won't be able to live in it. You're going to go into Golos, the Eni Shochin the Socha, and I won't dwell in it, and therefore that means there'll be a Churban, and I won't dwell among them. Marsha points out also the pasuk continues Asher ani shochem b'seich bnei Yisrael. So therefore, it's not just Hashem's shchina doesn't just rest in the Beis Mikdash; it rests among the Jewish people. Like I'll take the b'seichem. So therefore, it's not just the Beis Mikdash will be destroyed, but the shchina won't rest among the Jewish people either. Next, ba'avoin gili arayis v'avodas v'chavim ashmatas shmitin v'yodlos, as a punishment for gili arayis and avodah zarah and failing to keep Shmita and Yovel, Golus Bala Olam, for that Golus comes to the world, Umagon Oysam, so the Goyim take the Jews into Golus out of Eretz Yisrael, Uvoin Acherim, the Yoshim and Koimam, and other nations come and settle in Eretz Yisrael instead. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Kias Kol, after it mentions all the Arayas at the end of Parshas Achimos, Kias Kol Teves Oel also Anche Aretz Gomer, all the people of the land, the Knani nations did all of these disgusting things. Uchtiv, and the pasuk continues, Vatitma Aretz, the land became impure. For Efgad Avona Aleh Gomer, and so I visited, I remembered, it's Averus against it, and threw out the people Vatokia Aretz Yisheveh. And the pasuk continues, Velosokia, or it's Eskam, the Tamar Hamosa, and the pasuk continues, the land should not vomit you out if you make it tummy. And Marsha adds that the pasuk also continues, Kasha Kos and Goya Shalafnechem, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. So we see that Gilei Arayis causes that not only Jews, but also Goyim end up going into Golos from Eretz Yisrael. So it dispossessed them, and now the Jews took over, and now when that causes the Jews to be dispossessed, then other people also come and take over. Worth mentioning, of course, in this connection, what Rashi mentions on the pasuk in B'chokoseh, though, where it says, V'shomu mo'aleh o'ivechem, that it means that even though other nations will live in Eretz Yisrael, they'll still live there in very desolate conditions, they'll never live there in comfortable conditions. Eretz Yisrael waits for her own children to come back before it starts becoming fertile again. I think we may have mentioned in the Shir before or something where the famous writer Mark Twain visited Eretz Yisrael about 170 years ago, and he describes it as absolutely desolate, and it's impossible to believe that this is the land flowing with milk and honey of the Bible, and how could anybody possibly live here, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, what would he say if he saw it now? You know, yeah. So, yeah. Anyway. Now, by Avodah Zarah, the pasuk says, Hashem says that as a punishment for Avodah Zarah, I'll cause that your dead bodies will be lying on top of the dead bodies of your idols. And a few psukim later, it continues that I'll scatter you among the goyim. And it continues, I'll make your bote mikdash desolate. Ezara Bagoyim, and I will scatter you among the nations. So we see that that's also a consequence of Avodah Zarah. B'shmita v'yovel stiv, and then as far as failing to keep Shmita and Yovel, and the pasuk continues, Oz tirtza oretz ha-shabbos yeseha, then the land will be appeased for all of its shabbosim, ko yimei ha-shama, all the days that are desolate, ma'atem be'eretz ha-yveichem v'gemo, when you are in the lands of your enemies, uchtiv ko yimei ha-shama tishbos, and the next pasuk continues, throughout all the days of desolation, and it'll rest, making up for all the shmittas and yovos that you failed to keep. Which, in fact, Rashi mentions in a few places in Tanakh, that based on Seder Olam, that in fact there were 70 years of Golus Bavel corresponding to seven, to a total of 70 Shmittas and Yovels that they didn't keep throughout the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, and then the years before that. Here and there, there were times when they did Tshuva, and they did, but then there were times when they were not keeping them, and altogether, over time, it added up to 64 Shmittas, and then five Yovels, and then the next Shmitta had begun as well, and they would have not kept it as well, so therefore they ended up having 70 years of Golus. So we see, therefore, that the failure to keep Shmita and Yovel leads to those consequences. Marusha mentions in this connection that line from Rashi about the Shamua Le'Oivechem, that there is sort of good news in there that the Goyim who live there are never going to be comfortable and never going to really be able to resettle Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Ba'avoy Navlo Sapeh, as a punishment for speaking Nivol Peh, for speaking a coarse, unclean language, Soros Rabbis of Zeros Koshes Mishadras, many troubles and harsh Zeros are come about newly, are renewed constantly. And the young men of Soni Yisrael, which is the Gemara's usual euphemism for the Jewish people themselves, Mesim, pass away. The widows, the orphans and the widows cry out to Hashem, and they're not answered as a result of Nivol Peh. Why does Nivol Peh have such severe consequences? Some of us talk about the idea that a person, after all, is medaber. Their unique capability that no other creature has is the ability to speak. So therefore, when a person is metame back, then the consequences are much more severe. As you have a pasuk in Yeshaya, Alpein, therefore, because of the Averis that's going to mention further in the pasuk, Al Bachurav La Yismach Hashem, Hashem is not going to be happy with his young men, which means that refers then Rashi says you have the Tzoris and the Tzeris, Ves Yisoma Ves Amonos of Lo Yirachim, he won't have Rachmanos on his orphans or his widows, so that's the Tzoyek and Ve'en and Nenim. Because everybody are flattering and doing bad. Chonef is chanufa, is when you tell a person who's doing an aveda, it's okay, what you're doing is good. That's chanufa. The Gemara elsewhere talks about the severity of it. And every mouth is speaking nivola, is speaking unclean language. With all of this, Hashem's anger is not turned around, but and his hand is still outstretched to punish. So we see, in other words, that that's a result of these things. So Marsha says, okay, so the pasuk mentions three things, chonef meira and kol peh dover nevola. Why are we attributing all of these consequences just to the kol peh dover nevola? The answer is, Marsha says, because since it says, b'chol zois lo shav apo, the zois, this would refer to the last thing mentioned in the pasuk, namely the nivol peh. What is that last phrase, V'od Yod Nituya, and his hand is still outstretched? What does that mean? Omen of Chanan Barava means, for example, consider, everybody knows why the Kala is going into the Chuppah. There's a few different opinions among the Rishonim what Chuppah is exactly. Is it what we think of as Chuppah? Is it the veil that she wears? Or is it the Yichud room? But whatever the case, everybody knows what's going to happen after that. She and her chassin are going to have relations. Ella, so everybody knows that. Ella, kol amenabalas piv, but a person speaks improperly about that and uses coarse language about what's going to happen. Even if previously Hashem has sealed a gzaudin on him for 70 years, for his entire human lifespan, he'll have good. It gets turned to bad for him. So therefore, in other words, that's the v'oid yodinatoya. The va'oid is, Rashi says, the Russian va'ed, for a person's entire life. So a person's normal lifespan is 70 years. You may say, saying, by having Shibu Shana. So throughout all that time, Yodin Neturi, Hashem's hand is stretched out against him, that he loses his schusim, as a result of that. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Vashila Amar Afista, Kolam Nabolas Piv, a person who speaks Nivol Peh, who speaks unclean language like that, Mamikin Loi Gehenim, Hashem will make Gehenim very deep for him. As if, like, so to speak, it's harder to get out of. Shenema, as a pasuk says, Shucha Amuka Pi Zoris, a deep pit is the strange mouth. Which means, in other words, Marashah says, in Poshet Pshat, the Pasuk is talking about Avodah Zarah. Pizarus means, in other words, a person whose mouth is into speaking about Avodah Zarah. But since the word Zarus, Zarois in the plural, means strange things, so therefore it can also refer to an Isha Zara, to a strange woman, which has to do with the Znus, as it talks about in many places throughout Mishlei. So therefore it's saying, Shucha Amuka, the deep pit, is for Pizarois, is for the one whose mouth speaks foreign things, who speaks about an Isha Zara. The pastor doesn't make a difference what language. Yeah, that's what we're saying. What we're saying is even when you have to refer to the indelicate things in life, there's still a more refined way to speak about it. The Rambam has the Rambam explains after the Moreh Nevuchim that the reason why Lashon HaKodesh is called that is just because it doesn't have any words for the indelicate things in life. Rishonim disagree with that and give different other reasons why it's called Lashon HaKodesh, but the fact is, classical Lashon Kodesh doesn't. Modern Hebrew does, because they invented words for it, or they borrowed from other languages, or whatever. But anyway. Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Amar Af Shemei Abishosik, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says not only the one who speaks the Nivol Peh, but also the one who's quiet, also the one who hears it and is quiet. And Ion Yaakov says all the more so, somebody who laughs about it, who considers this to be a good joke. Chenema, as the same pasuk continues, the same pasuk Shucha Amuka continues, Zum Hashem Yipol Sham, the one at whom Hashem is angry will fall into there. So therefore, so we understand, Rashi explains that it means the Zum Hashem means the one who didn't actually speak the Nivol Peh, but the one who hears it, Hashem is angry with him also for not protesting. Marsha points out also that the word yipol sham can also mean, the word yipol can mean not only to fall, it can also mean to be allied with, like al pnei kol ha'avnos. So it means, in other words, he's allied with the other guy, as in he goes along with the nivol peh, therefore he has those consequences as well. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yosheh, kol ha'marek es atzmei la'aveira, a person who cleanses himself for aveira, which means Rashi says he clears his calendar, he clears his mind and everything, he clears all of his other outstanding business in order to get involved in aveira. In Gemara terminology, a lot of times aveira specifically means znus. So a person who does that, chaburis of tsoi in yotzin boy, then there's going to be wounds and sores are going to come out of him. Shenema, as a pasuk says, chaburis petza tamruk bira, wounds, bruises of wounds, tamruk will be complete, bira in evil. So in other words, we're doubting the person who makes himself complete, he clears all of his other outstanding things in order to focus on aveira, to focus on ra, so the result is chaburis and petza. Not only that, but he gets punished with hidroikon, which Rashi just defines as a sickness. In various places in Shas, it comes out that it's basically, in modern medical East, it's called edema. It's where water collects inside the cells or under the skin and causes various body parts to swell up. Water retention, basically. So a person who does that is punished with hidroikon, in particular, in some places, the Gemara mentions that the stomach swells up particularly. But anyway, shenemo makus chadre boten, as the same passage continues, and wounds of the inside of the stomach, meaning, in other words, that he gets punished with hidroikon, which is manifested mainly in the stomach. And Marsha points out, it's midah keneged midah, the same way as we mentioned before, that a woman who's not careful with the halachas of nidah, with the halachas of taras mishpacha. So the Gemara expressed it, he kilkala b'chadre botan, that she acted wrongly with her insides, and therefore she's in danger during childbirth, which also involves her inside. The same way a man, it also involves his insides, and therefore the punishment is in the same area. So So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Nachman took simon la avera hidroikon. In fact, a simon that a person has been involved in avera, meaning this news, is this disease or this condition of hidroik. There is, by the way, in this connection, a story involving the Alter Rebbe and then involving the Alter Rebbe and Rebbe Yitzchak Beditcher, where one time this guy goes to Rebbe Levick and he says, I was nichshol in znus, and I'd actually been, and then Rebbe Levick starts asking him to make a long story short. It turns out that he'd been planning it for a while. The woman that he was with, he made sure ahead of time that she's not going to be nida at the time. So Rebbe Levick tells him, what's that? You know, you took so long planning your avera, so it wasn't just a spur of the moment thing. You actually planned for it. I can't really help you. And he sends him off to the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe makes a tikkun for him. I may have that backwards, actually. It might be he first went to the Alter Rebbe and then to Rebbe. I think I have it correct that it was first to Rebbe Levick and then the Alter Rebbe. Anyway, the Alter Rebbe explained that as much as Rebbe Levick is a Melech Yosher on the Jewish people, he kind of had to draw the line over there. But so that fits then with all Gemara over here about how Mamara Katsman. Anyway, the Gemara continues. When Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying simen la'aveira hidroikon, there are actually three kinds of hidroikon. So aveira ove, the one that's caused, as we said, by the aveira of znus, that is ove, that's thick. In other words, so what happens is the swelling takes place under the muscles, and therefore the whole flesh, the muscles and the skin feels very hard as a result of the water retention. The shorov tefuach, on the other hand, the one that comes from famine, from hunger, is swelled up, which means Rashi explains. So you have the water collects basically between the muscles and the skin, so therefore so the skin looks more transparent than it should. The shokshopim dak, and the one that's caused by a person being subjected to black magic, that one is thin in the sense that his muscles are like wasted away. So therefore, so you could actually, if you examine it carefully, then the point is you can tell the difference between one and the other. Maharsha points out that actually elsewhere the Gemara talks about a fourth kind, that in brachas it says that if a person when going to the bathroom, when going for gdolim, if he pulls back the waste into his body, then it can also cause hidroik. Maharsha says, okay, that one maybe doesn't have a particularly noteworthy simon. There's no particular simon that you can look at a person suffering from a hidroikon and say necessarily this was caused by that. So the Gemara continues. Shmuel HaKotan Choshbe, Shmuel HaKotan, the famous tzaddik we had in Brachas, he's the one who created the Barach of Olam HaShinim, and so on and so forth. Anyway, Choshbe, one time he suffered from a hidroikon. Omar, he says, Rabban Shlalem, Mi Mephis, Hashem, who's going to make a girdle? In other words, people aren't going to necessarily realize these distinctions that the Gemara just said between the different kinds of hidroikon. They're going to see that I have a hidroikon. They're going to jump to conclusions that I was guilty of znus. It's a see, and so he was cured. Hashem made a nest, and he was cured. And it continues the Gemara. Abaya Choshbe, Abaya one time suffered from a hidroikon. Omer Rabba or Rabba Yadina Bem Nachmeni Demach Bin Nafshe. I know about Nachmeni that he starves himself. So in other words, Rabba or Rabba is saying, Chas v'Shalom, to think that Abaya had it because of Avera. He had it because he's not eating enough. He's undernourished. Why Abaya is called Nachmeni? There's a few different explanations. Is it that Nachmeni was his real name and he was nicknamed Abaya? Because Rabba, who raised him, his father was named Nachmeni, and he didn't want to call him by his father's name, so therefore he nicknamed him Abaya, which is Rosh Tevis Shebachol Yocham Yosem. Or there's an explanation the other way around: his real name was Abaya, and he's nicknamed Nachmeni because he was raised by Rabba by Nachmeni. Anyway, and many places in Chas where Rabba calls him Nachmeni. Anyway, continues the Gemara: Rabba Koshbe, Rabba himself one time suffered from a hidroikon. So the Gemara asks, why would Rava do that? Avera is obviously out of the question. Kshofim, apparently, the Gemara understands, is also out of the question, maybe because great tzaddikim like Rava and Abaya are not going to be affected by Kshofim. So the only other one would be because of Rav on the face of it. And Bahar Rava, who Dama, didn't Rava himself say, first of all, Rashi explains that The very fact that Rava says, Yadayna Beim Nachmeni, I know that Nachmeni starved himself, that means, in other words, that Rava disapproves of that way of acting, so therefore he's not going to undernourish himself like the way Abaya did. And are you going to say it's because he held himself back from going to the bathroom? But Rava says, Nefishi k'tile keger m'nefiche chavim. There are even more people who are killed by keger. Keger is Malashim k'deira, Rashi says a pot. So it refers to failure to go to the bathroom, where you're supposed to go to the bathroom and spill out the contents like a pot. And a person doesn't, there are more people killed by that m'nefiche chavim than there are people who are swollen from hunger. So in other words, Rava is disapproving of, so Rava is telling us to be careful to go to the bathroom in time and not to hold it back. So therefore, we shouldn't assume that Rava himself would disobey his own advice. He's not going to be starving himself because the fact that he expressed himself like that about Abaya, Rashi explains, means that he disapproved of that behavior of Abaya's. Or Marsha says differently, that the very fact that he says that there's more people killed by failing to go to the bathroom than by hunger implies that he disapproves of both. So therefore, he's not going to do either one. So he's going to be careful about both of them. So why would Rava suffer from a Jeraipan? And the answer is shiny Rava. It was different in Rava's case. The ansi the rabbanon the ibne bal kochay. In the time he had fixed times to be able to learn with his talmidim, and they would force him. In the sense he has a fixed time to learn with them, so therefore he didn't have the opportunity to go to the bathroom. So therefore there would be times when he would be holding it in, and that eventually led him to suffer from pejuraytam. So it was a bal kocha, but it was against his will. He wouldn't do that if he had a choice in the matter, but because the Talmidim were pushing him to teach them Torah, then he didn't have a choice. The Gemara continues, Tanan Abban, Abba Simonim Hein. There are four Simonim, in other words, there are four physical ailments that a person might have, which represent that they did different kinds of Aveira, that they're guilty of different kinds of Aveira, so different kinds of Midas Rors. Simon La Aveira Hidroikon. A simon of Aveira, of Znus, is a Jeraikon, or at least one kind of a Jeraikon, like we said. Simon la Sinas Chinam Yerokon. A sign that a person has Sinas Chinam is Yerokon, which is jaundice. Simon la Gasa Ruach Anius. A sign that a person is a Balgaiva is Anius, is poverty. And Rashi brings from a Gemara in Kiddushin, we don't mean poverty in money, we mean poverty in knowledge of Torah. And the reason is, first of all, because Baal Gaiva thinks, I know everything there is to know already, so he's not going to bother learning, he's not going to bother reviewing his learning, he's not going to bother checking with others to make sure that he's not getting it wrong, etc. And the last one, Simon, the Lashon Hara, which, again, Marsha points out, as far as Yerok and as far as jaundice, it can also, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that same Gemara in Brachas mentions that if a person retains his urine, it can cause jaundice. Same thing, Marsha says, maybe there may be a difference between that kind of jaundice and the other. If you're also not a person infertile, yeah. And the fourth one, Simon, the Lashon Hara Askara, a sign that a person is guilty of Lashon Hara is that he suffers from the disease Askara, which the Gemara is going to explain soon. Now she brings over here, it starts out in the stomach and ends up in the throat. It's usually translated as diphtheria, where it's a disease, Rahman al-Fan, where the person there's a growth in their throat that eventually chokes them. So that's a punishment for Lashon Hara. We can understand it's Midah Keneged Midah. Tanan Rabbanan, so the Gemara continues in this vein. Askara Bala Olam Ala Meiser. What causes Askara, what causes an epidemic of Askara to come to the world? Ala Meiser, for the fact that people don't give Meiser. People eat their produce as tevel. So since eating tevel is chayav misa b'dei shamayim, so therefore the particular misa b'dei shamayim is askara, where Rashi points out, after all, what happens when a person eats tevel? It goes down his throat and goes into his stomach. Therefore, midah keneged midah, it starts in the stomach and winds up affecting his throat. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, Omar, Lashon Hara, and Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi says, like we just said, that it's for Lashon Hara. Like said in the Braisa. The Gemara says, Omer Rabba, Rava V'Temer Rabbi Shurban Levi, Maikra, where's a pasuk that expresses that idea that there's a connection between Askara and Lashon Hara? The pasuk says, V'an Melech Yismach Velikim, the king, Dovra Melech, referring to the other kings of the Jewish people, will be happy in Hashem, Yishalo Tola Nishva Boy, everybody who swears by him, by Hashem, can praise themselves, they can be proud of the fact that they have Hashem, as the, that they have Hashem on their side, ki yisachar ki dover shachar, because the mouths of those who speak falsehood will be yisachar. So yisachar literally means closed up, but it's also related to the word askara. Now, Shaul explains specifically that the connection with the Hamelach Yismach Belikim, what's going on over here is we know from the Gemara tells us a whole story in Yevamos that there was a whole discussion about whether David is Roy Lover Bekal because his great grandmother is Rus HaMayaviyah, and particularly Doeg was falsely arguing that David is his Posel Lover Bekal because he claimed that he doesn't hold of the Din Amoni Vlay Amonis Mayavi Vlay Mayavis. So now David is saying, "V'amelach yismach v'lekim," the king, which is me, should be able to be happy in Hashem, happy in the sense that everybody should realize that I'm kosher and deserve to have the malchus. Yishalo kol anish baboy, anybody who swears by the king, meaning chay hamelach, a person swears by the life of the king, can pride himself on that he's swearing properly. And ki yisachar pi dover shachar, because you'll see that those who spoke falsely, those who spoke against me and claim that I'm apostle, are going to wind up having askara, which is what people who speak lashon hara deserve. So therefore, we see the connection between askara and lashon hara. So iboy lahu, but the Gemara says they had a question. Rabbi Lozib, Rabbi Yesi, al lashon hara kama, or do ma af al lashon hara nami kama? When Rabbi Lozib, Rabbi Yesi says I'm lashon hara, and previously, the Braisa had said, the Tanakama of the Braisa had said, Ala Meiser, does Rabbi Lozib Rabbi Yossi mean exclusively for Lashon Hara? So he disagrees. It says not because of Meiser, only because of Lashon Hara. Ojima afa Lashon Hara, nami kamar, or maybe it means it can be for both, for not separating Meiser, as well as for speaking Lashon Hara. So Gemara says, Toshma, come, let's prove it from a Braisa. Chenichnasu Rabbi Seno Lekerem B'Yavna, when our Rabbeim came into Kerem B'Yavna, which is the yeshiva, the famous base medrash in Yavna. Rashi explains that they sat in there in rows like a vineyard, so therefore that's why it was called Kerem B'Yavna. It comes from a Yerushalmian brachas that says that. Ho'yusham Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon. There were three chachamim over there, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Shimon. Nishal Oshela Zubachnehem. This question was asked to them. Makazu, this disease of Askara, why does it begin in the stomach and end up the later progression of it is in the mouth? Why after those two body parts? Rabbi Yehuda Bar Biloy, who was the chief speaker at every occasion, as we'll learn tomorrow, the whole story of how he got that title. So he says, he speaks up and he says, because even though, as we learned in Brachas, the kidneys give advice, they filter out the blood, and therefore metaphorically they also filter out a person's ideas and help them decide what the right thing is to do. And then in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it talks about that they correspond to Netzach and Hoid. So the lev mevin, and the heart is what understands what to do in the first place. So even though those organs are also involved in the whole thought process, the loshen mechatech, and it's the tongue that actually that slices up the breath into individual letters. The fact is peg goimer. The fact is the mouth is what completes. You express what you want to say with the mouth. So there, because it comes out of the throat. So therefore, he says that. So therefore, lashon hara, even though lashon hara involves all of those organs, but it actually comes into action through the mouth. Therefore, it's appropriate that the mouth, that the throat leads to the mouth, is the site where Askara winds up. So continues the Gemara. Then Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yosi speaks up and says, "They show us on the burnt meat. The reason for Askara is because people eat things that are tummy, which tummy can mean." Literally tome, or it can mean non-kosher food. But the Gemara asks, "Dvarim tmeim sakadaitach?" You're going to tell me dvarim tmeim? Fine, it's a big avera, but to the extent that it should be that a person should be chayev nisa for it, lashon hara, fine. But this elah sheochan, but dvarim she'enim mesukonim. But rather, it's because people eat with their mouth food that has not had meiser taken from it. Again, kevel is misa b'deshamayim. The point is, in other words, that we see from that, the Gemara is going to end up saying that it means Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yosi. Here he's saying that it's because of failure to give meiser. Earlier he said it's because of lashon hara, so therefore it means he's saying it's both. It's one or the other. Either one of them can be a cause of askara. And we'll continue tomorrow with the rest of the discussion, what Reb Shimon has to say about it, and then we'll get into the whole story of how Reb Yehuda became Rosh HaMadabrim B'chol Makom. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, Chav Zayin Ad Beis. We know there's the concept of mitzvahs b'teilus v'asid lave, that mitzvahs will be nullified in the future. So we know, and it's known that Eva talks about that. According to some opinions, that period of mitzvahs b'teilus v'asid lave is the period of tchias ha-mesim, the second period of Yemos Mashiach, as opposed to during the first period of Yemos Mashiach before tchias ha-mesim, then we'll be keeping mitzvahs to the ultimate degree. For that reason, that is why the din is that you're allowed to use a piece of cloth that has kalayim in it, or even where the kalayim is lost and you can't find it, you're allowed to use it for tachrichim. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef says, from here we see mitzvahs pelas lasid lavoi, which means exactly that. So Rashi explains over there, you're allowed to make tachrichim out of kalayim, even though when the person gets up at Chesa Mason is going to be standing up with his clothes that he was buried in, that shows that mitzvahs pelas lasid lavoi. And then in tomorrow's installment, and the one after that, then we'll continue that ever analyzes this point of mitzvahs, peilus, loss of love, and just what that means. Halacha. We started on the halachas of the brachas on fragrances, on good smells. So you have different brachas depending where it comes from. If it's a fruit, or if it's an edible fruit, whether it's priya eitz, priya adama, and even if it's only something that you can only eat by mixing it with other things, for example, nutmeg or lemon or esrog, during Sukkot, by the way, is a different din. You can't smell the esrog during Sukkot, but that's a different din. Anyway, so mainly this fruit is meant for eating. Therefore, the bracha is asher nosan reyach tov bapeis, that Hashem gave a good fragrance in fruit. That's specifically when you intended to smell it. Or even, the Alter Rebbe adds, even if you pick up the fruit intending to eat it, and you first put it to your nose to enjoy the aroma before you eat it, then you also make the bracha. If you didn't mean to smell it, you just meant to eat it, and you happen to smell it, then you don't make a bracha on the smell. Also he adds that if a person smells roasted coffee, which also has a good smell, then you also say, Asher nosan reyach tov bapeis, because coffee, after all, comes from beans that grow on a tree. Kanana ben Akasha, Matsar Kashbrok, Zakh is so, take about 10 minutes, Shinema, and Ethel Matsar.